We read this morning from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. Now when he, that is Jesus, got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." But he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So what's the worst storm that you remember? I can remember one storm in my life. We were driving back from Valentine, Nebraska, visiting my grandparents, and I was probably 16 years old. I was driving for one of the first times, and we had a big storm come. My mom told me to pull over, and I said, "Nah, I'll be fine, Mom," because I was the invincible 16-year-old. Like many of you are. And then we went over a bridge. And the wind came rushing down the side, and the rain came pouring down, mixing with the spray from all the other cars. And suddenly I could barely make out the car just ahead of me. It was pretty scary. Nothing bad happened. We pulled over. I got an earful from my dad. And other than that, everything was fine. But I learned a lesson. Number one, listen to your mom. And number two, a storm can come out of nowhere and make you fearful, covering up everything you can see. In our sermon text for today, there's a word in verse 24, the word covered. That word in the Greek literally means to be hidden, to be concealed. That's how bad the storm got. The boat that the disciples were riding on was hidden from them. They couldn't see the boat they were standing on. Matthew calls this storm a seismos megas, which literally means a really big storm. So mega as in mega foods, you know, big, huge, mega. And seismos is in seismic activity, like an earthquake, like the earthquake that ripped the temple veil in two, or the earthquake that rolled the stone away from Jesus' tomb. This is the only time in the New Testament that this word is used in connection with a storm. So it was literally an earth-shaking storm. Matthew wants us to know that it's a big storm, and for one of the disciples to say that, that's really saying something, because the disciples were used to the big storms down there. The Sea of Galilee is famous for its quick rising storms. See, the sea is set 700 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by mountains, so the wind comes roaring down like a funnel down into the sea and causes these quick rising storms. So the disciples were used to it. Plus, the disciples, many of them, were fishermen, weren't they? They were used to this sea and the storms on this sea. They were used to getting out of tough spots. But when they came to Jesus that day, what did they say? "Lord, save us, we are perishing." In spite of all their skills, they thought they were going to die. One of the neatest parts of this account, I think, is the insight we gain into the nature of Christ. According to the parallel account in Mark, Jesus spent the entire day on the sea preaching to the crowds. He went on a boat offshore just a little bit and used the water to preach, but it still tired him out because as soon as he got in the boat that night to cross the sea, he fell asleep. He must have been tired. It's the only time in all of Scripture that we hear of Jesus sleeping. So we can ask the question then, is this the only time that Jesus slept? Well, of course not. Jesus is a true man, isn't he, just like we are? Jesus had to sleep, he had to eat, he had to drink, breathe, laugh, cry, everything we do, he did. But why did Jesus have to be true man? I was in Saginaw this summer, and I taught VBS, and I asked my VBS class that question, and they knew the answer. They said, Jesus had to be true man so that he could die. And that's right. Jesus did have to be true man to die. But he also had to be true man so that he could be tempted. Run through the Ten Commandments in your mind quick, all the temptations associated with them. Temptations to curse, swear, temptations to disobey those in authority, temptations to gossip, speak evil, lust, covet, temptations to talk and laugh in chapel. How about that one? But Jesus did not fail once, not in the smallest place. He did not fall to these temptations at all. We read in Hebrews, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." God set the requirement that the one who's going to come to earth to save all mankind had to face all the temptation that we face. Every temptation you've ever faced, Jesus faced it too. But he never failed. And that's why he could sleep so soundly that day, that night. How often do we lay awake at night, worried about a particular sin that just won't seem to leave us alone? No matter how hard we try, we keep coming back to this sin over and over and over. Or maybe we lay awake at night and worry, worrying about financial hardship or family struggle, thoughts of depression. This is the other reason that Jesus could sleep so soundly. Despite that huge storm raging all around him, Jesus didn't worry at all. He knew that his heavenly Father had a mission for him. He knew that he could not die that night on that lake because he had to die another time. He had to die on Calvary for you and for me. What an amazing example for us. If Jesus could remain calm and trust in God despite that mega storm raging all around him, can't we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, also remain calm and trust in God in all the storms and temptations and trials that we face in our life? Now, we not only see Jesus' human nature in this account when he was sleeping, we also see his divine nature. The obvious way is in the calming of the storm. And this storm didn't just fade away. This storm, snap of fingers. That word mega that was used to describe the storm is also used to describe the calm that came after. It went from a mega storm to a mega calm. There's another way that we see Jesus' divine nature, though. It's interesting to note the order of things in Matthew. Jesus didn't wake up and immediately calm the storm. Rather, the first thing he did was rebuke the disciples. Isn't that interesting? Because more important than this huge storm that was threatening the lives of the people around him, Jesus was focused on the faith of the disciples. Jesus had to rebuke them because they were focused on the earthly, and it's hard to blame them because they thought they were going to die. And from an earthly standpoint, from their sailor experience, they knew they were going to die. But from Jesus' standpoint, from the heavenly standpoint, they were going to be just fine. Sometimes Jesus has to rebuke us as well, doesn't he? Sometimes we are too focused on the earthly, on the things around us and not on the things above. But when he does rebuke us, we need to remember why he's doing it. He's doing it because he loves us. Just as parents have to discipline their children, so sometimes too our Heavenly Father has to discipline us to teach us a lesson. Now Jesus ultimately took care of us spiritually through his perfect life he lived here on earth, through that death on the cross when he took away all of our sins, and through that resurrection where he assured us that we will someday be with him in heaven. Now take yourself back to that storm you imagined before. I put myself on that bridge again with the rain all around you, the thunder rumbling, lightning flashing, wind blowing, and now imagine a bright sunshiny day like today with the birds chirping, the bright sunshine. That's what Jesus does for us. Jesus, who is true God and true man, Jesus who calmed the physical storm that night on the Sea of Galilee, but greater than that, he calms the storms in our hearts. Just as the wind comes blowing in onto the Sea of Galilee, so sin and misery comes blowing into our hearts, causing them to rage and to storm. But the sweet word, the gospel message, comes to us from Christ. The words that Jesus said to calm the storm are recorded in Mark, and it's the same words that Jesus says to our hearts. He says, "Peace, be still." Amen. We'll conclude this morning by seeing verses 4 and 7 of 4:27. 4:27, 4 and 7.